Well, last week I spoke on the subject of worry, and I'm going to speak on the subject of worry again. Anxiety is the most common mental health condition in Australia. On average, 1 in 4 people, 1 in 3 women, and 1 in 5 men will experience anxiety at some stage in their life. In a 12-month period, over 2 million Australians experience anxiety. So that's from the Beyond Blue organisation. I found these figures about worry. They say an average person's anxiety is focused on 40% of things that will never happen. An average person's anxiety is focused on 30% of things about the past that cannot be changed. So there's 40% of the average person will focus on things that never happen. That's your worries. We spend 30% of our time on worrying about the past that cannot be changed. We spend 12% of our time worrying focused on criticism by others, which is mostly untrue. We spend 10% of our time worrying about our health, which actually gets worse with stress. And 8% of an average person's worry is about real problems that will be faced. The Lord Jesus understood that we as human beings would struggle with worry because each of us has a fallen nature and we have a propensity to worry. We have a propensity to be anxious, and the Lord Jesus understands that. Now, in preaching this message, I in no way want to discount the trials that people go through that cause real anxiety. Being a minister for around about 25 years now, I've come into contact with people that have had all sorts of trials and troubles and struggles, and there are very, very painful experiences that believers go through. And so in preaching this subject, telling you not to worry, I'm not saying that we don't go through real trials, through real desperate times in our lives. We certainly do. If you go through the Bible, and if you do a study both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you'll actually find that God's people experience major burdens in their life. Let me just give you a couple of examples. And sometimes the trials that they experience, they actually want to die. They get into a position where they want the Lord to take their lives. And I believe that there are Christians that get into positions where sometimes they get to that state where they say, look, I'd rather be home. I'd rather go to heaven than keep on living. I've met some Christians that have suffered continual pain year after year. And I think when I view their lives, that if they did not know the Lord Jesus as their saviour, they'd actually go crazy with the amount of trials that they've experienced. If you think about the Bible, one person stands out, well, there's numbers of people, but one person stands out particularly, and his name was Elijah. And if you think about Elijah, he was an Old Testament prophet. He stood against the enemies of God, the false prophets. He had that great confrontation on Mount Carmel. And after he had that great victory on Mount Carmel, what happened? He got a death threat from Queen Jezebel. And Elijah ran for his life. And the Bible says this in 1 Kings 19 verse 3, talking about Elijah. He arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Here is Elijah, the great prophet of God, gets to the point in his life where he's despairing so much because of the threat that he's received that he actually just wants to die. Sometimes God's people get to that state. Think about Job. The Bible says this about Job. That man was blameless and upright. This is talking about Job. And one who feared God and shunned evil. That's Job 1 verse 1 tells us that he was a blameless and upright man. And yet if you read the chapters of Job, you understand that he went through tremendous trials. Early in the chapters of Job, you find that he had great trials concerning his farm, great tragedy concerning his family, and great trouble concerning his fitness. He got those terrible boils over him and became a very ill man. And Job got to the stage where in Job 3 verse 11 he says this, "Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb?" In Job 30 verse 5 he says, "Terrors are turned upon me. They pursued my soul as the wind, and my welfare passes away as a cloud. And now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me." Job was a godly man, but Job suffered trial after trial after trial. And Job even came to the point where he said, "Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb?" The Bible gives a lot of great promises to God's people. But some of the promises that we might find difficulty with is that God promises that God's people are actually going to suffer. In John 16 verse 33, Jesus said, "In the world," he said, "you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." None of us here are exempted from trials. We'll have trials till the day that we die. But our trials and our sicknesses and our sufferings sometimes can be the cause of tremendous anxiety in our lives. But God's people are told that we are not to worry. God recognises that we indeed are going to have trials, but we are commanded not to worry. Jesus knows that life brings great burdens. That's why Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Remember what the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 1 verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua had to be strong. Joshua had to be courageous. Now when we come to Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus talks about worry. Matthew 6 verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" The Lord Jesus knows that we are prone to worry. He knows that on our journey through life, we are going to have many concerns. And Jesus knows that we are going to be tempted by the common things in life to worry. The common things are raising a family. The common things in getting food and water and shelter. In getting clothing. The common things like being concerned about our health. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord Jesus gives a number of cures for worry. Have a look at verse 26. "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" I mentioned last week that humanity is the pinnacle of God's creation. Yet our heavenly Father cares for the birds. And if you are a Christian, you have a heavenly Father that not only cares for the birds, but he cares for you. When a person becomes a Christian, they become a son or daughter of the living God. When John wrote to the early church, he said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." I want to ask you this morning, are you saved? I'm not asking, are you religious? But are you saved? Do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus? If you know that the Lord Jesus went to the cross for your sins and you've accepted him as your saviour, then the great news is not only that we have a saviour, but that we have a heavenly Father in heaven that cares for us. Just think about it. If you had a dad that cared for birds, say you had a dad that had budgies as a hobby, and you saw how your dad cares for the birds, would he not care much more for you than he cares for his birds? If a fire came over your property, would your dad rescue the birds first, or would he rescue you? I think if you had a father that loved you, he'd rescue you beyond any of the birds. Our Heavenly Father cares for the birds, but Jesus says we're much more important than the birds. Much more important. I need to say that when I talk about God as our Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that there are people that have not had a good earthly father. They may not have had a good earthly mother as well. And sometimes Christians struggle with the concept of a heavenly father because the only father that they knew has not done the right thing by them. But we have a perfect heavenly father in heaven. The Bible says, Psalm 103 verse 13, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." Jesus says again, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Verse 27, "Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" But worry is useless. You can't add a single moment to your life by worrying. You can actually take away years off your life by worrying. Worrying causes all sorts of problems for the human body. But Jesus says, "Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" A writer called Bill Hendrick wrote this, "Anxiety may increase risk of heart disease. Anxiety disorders significantly increase a person's risk of developing heart disease and also raise the odds of suffering a fatal cardiac event." Worry has severe consequences for us. Jesus says that we are not to worry. When Jesus talks about the passage here on worry, just preceding where he talks about worry, he actually talks about materialism. Matthew 6 verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." Jesus talks about materialism before he talks about worry. And I'm sure he does that because materialism brings great worries to large amounts of people. If our focus is just on material things, you are going to be a worried person. I read the other day about Henry Ford. He was the founder of the Ford Motor Company. And it said of Henry Ford that in the 1920s, he was worth $1.2 billion. Now, what would that be in today's money? Extraordinary amount of money. But in the 1920s, he was worth $1.2 billion. And when Henry Ford reflected on his life, he said this, "I was happier when doing a mechanic's job." Imagine that. A man worth over $1 billion and he was happier when he was a simple mechanic.
What happened to him?
Materialism, wealth, keeping the wealth became his focus. Wealth brought trials to Henry's life. Worry over money, worry over staff, worry over material things began to burden him. And yet he was happier as a simple mechanic. The Bible says this in Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. That was a great verse for Henry, if he'd ever heard it. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. In verse 28, Jesus says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus indicates that the whole of nature, birds and plants, are completely dependent on him. In actual fact, not just birds and plants, but everything of nature, every beast of the field, is completely dependent on God. Our Heavenly Father dresses the lilies. Our Heavenly Father feeds the birds. Are we not much more important than they? And of course the answer is yes. Matthew 6:31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Jesus is indicating, when he's talking about the Gentiles, he's indicating that people shouldn't think like the pagans. The pagans don't know God. The pagans did not know the God of Israel. The pagans, many of them, did not know the history of Israel. God was a rescuer to the nation of Israel. God was a provider to the nation of Israel. God was a redeemer to the nation of Israel. God gave the nation of Israel the word. God was with them on their journeys. God opened the Red Sea. God provided miraculous food in the desert. God had done wonderful things for the nation of Israel. He'd been their provider. And Jesus didn't want the people listening to him, now this is on the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't want them to think like Gentiles. And the Gentiles would often think that they had to supply their own needs. God supplies our needs, just as he does for the birds, just as he clothes the lilies of the field. The believer in Christ should not be like the pagan. And it's a temptation for us to think like non-believers. Oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to afford to pay this? We can start to worry over and over, and yet we forget that we have a Heavenly Father who promises to supply our needs. Not our wants, but our needs. It's not wrong to work hard. It's not wrong to plan for the future in the Lord's will. But it's wrong to work hard and to worry about the future. Not wrong to work hard, but it's wrong to work hard and worry about the future together. You know, the Bible gives us an example of workers. The Bible in Proverbs 6 turns us to the ant. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. Now, I read about this passage, and apparently in Israel, there are actually ants that harvest in the summer, and they harvest in the summer for the winter. They store up grain in their nests for the winter. Got a modern name for it. It's called superannuation. They are saving for the future. They're putting a little bit away for when they can't work. They take the grain from the summer and they store it up for the winter when the grain is not as abundant. It's not wrong to work hard. It's not wrong to put some savings away for the future. But it is wrong if you are working hard and you are worrying and not trusting the Lord to supply. The believer in Christ needs to look beyond this world. We are not to live like pagans. We are to be different. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs, and we can look to Jesus. We can work hard and look to Jesus to supply every essential in our lives. Brian Loretis wrote this: when you and I worry about our jobs, our health, our money, our mortgage loans, our kids' schools, our cars and our clothes, we are acting like the world. To be dominated by worry is essentially to show that our ultimate hope is not in a loving, caring Father, but in the things of this world. Worry can create spiritual amnesia. It's easy for us to forget what God has done in the past. It's easy to get spiritual amnesia, forgetting the wonderful things that God has done for us in the past. Verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6: but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So where to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Early in our lives, Judy and I were challenged by the example of a number of missionaries. We met a bricklayer and his wife years ago who decided to become a missionary, and he really impressed me in his life. He'd given up his bricklaying career. Back in 1987, he could have been making a dollar a brick, every brick that he laid, and it was a lot of money back then because there was a building boom on in 1987. But he'd given that away, and he was actually laying bricks, still laying bricks, not getting a wage, and he was building a Bible college. And his focus was a real testimony to me. He was focused on God's kingdom. He was focused on mission. He was focused on the fact that he was going to build a Bible college where people were going to learn the Word of God, and then people would go out to the mission field and some would go out into pastoral work. And his focus was not on making money, but actually on serving God in how God would have him serve in his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, when I first met that bricklayer, I never dreamed that I actually would end up sitting in the Bible college that he built. He probably laid about 80 or 90% of the bricks in that Bible college. And I'm so thankful, first of all, for his testimony and also for his work. He was a man that I saw that sought first the kingdom of God and trusted God, he and his wife, for every provision. It was a wonderful testimony. Now, I want to summarise just in closing a couple of things that we've learned from Matthew chapter 6. Let's have a look at it. I want to talk first of all about the word failure. Failure. If you don't put God first in your life, it can result in failure. It will result in failure. And failure causes worry. Have a look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you put mammon, if you put wealth, if you put even your family first, the Bible says that you cannot serve God and mammon. God needs to be first in your life. He needs to be first before your family, first before your finances. And when you put him first in your life, your family will be much better off. First of all, there'll be failure if you don't put God first in your life, and failure causes worry. Secondly, there must be fidelity to God's word in your life. We need to be faithful to God's word. If God has told you not to worry, then you need to obey God's word and don't worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's the words of the Lord Jesus. The same God who gave us the Ten Commandments. The same God who said, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The same God says, do not worry. We need to have fidelity to God's word. We need to be faithful to God's word. The third word I want you to think about is faith. We need to have faith. We need to believe what God's word says, and we need to step out in faith, in obedience. That means we hear God's word about saying don't worry. We need to put it into practice and step out. Now, there's Christians today. I was talking to a pastor during the week, and there's a man in his congregation, and the man in the congregation, because of the pandemic, and I don't know exactly what his situation is, but he won't go out of his house. So I assume he hasn't been to church for quite a while. But he's a man in his 40s. He's not an older man. I wonder, has panic gripped his heart in this pandemic? Is he perhaps not stepping out in faith? And yes, we're in a pandemic. Yes, we need to take precautions. But we need not worry. The Lord's in control. If he's a perfectly healthy man and in his 40s, I don't think he should be locked away. I think he should be getting out. Now, there are Christians today that are in a panic because of the pandemic. There are Christians today that are gripped in worry because of the coronavirus. We should take precautions, but we should not be panicking. John Henry Yeats wrote that great hymn, "Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory, a glorious victory that overcomes the world." And part of his chorus goes this way, "Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name." Faith is the victory. So we need to have fidelity to God's word. We need to step out in faith. I want you to remind you of another word in this passage, and it's the word Father. We have a heavenly Father that cares for us. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Another word I want you to remind you about that we see in the passage is the word first. The word first. In Matthew 6, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." One writer wrote this. What Jesus is saying is that the antidote to worrying is to make a daily choice, your habitual practice, to prioritise God's kingdom and righteousness. The world won't stop tempting you to seek its passing pleasures, and one of the best defences is a good offence. In this case, seeking the things above, where the king sits, at the right hand of his Father. The book of Colossians says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." I don't know if you've ever read the story of Corrie ten Boom. But Corrie ten Boom lived in Holland, and she and her sister were put into a concentration camp because they hid the Jews from the Nazis along with their father, and they were captured. And she wrote that book called The Hiding Place. It was given that title for two reasons. They had a hiding place for the Jews, and the Lord was their hiding place as well. Corrie ten Boom wrote this: "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow." So remember, here's a woman that endured the horrors of the concentration camp in Germany in Ravensbrück, along with her sister, and her sister died in that concentration camp. The dormitory that they were in was plagued with fleas. It was a terrible time for them. So here is a lady writing about worries, and she says, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow." She knew sorrow. "It empties today of its strength. If you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at Christ, you'll be at rest." The psalmist wrote this: "Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word." Corrie said this: "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." Can I ask you this morning, is Jesus Christ your Saviour? Have you trusted him for the forgiveness of sins? The Bible says that God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have a Father in heaven that sent his Son to this earth to die on that cruel cross of Calvary. Jesus was tempted in all points like us, yet he was without sin. Jesus knew what it was to be tempted with worry, but he never worried. And Jesus asked us to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. And I wonder if you've been burdened with worry over the last couple of months or the last couple of weeks. I wonder if you would address the situation of spiritual amnesia. And what I mean is, look back. Don't forget what God has done for you in the past. Don't forget the victories that God has enabled you to have over very difficult circumstances, and trust him today. He is our hiding place. He is our shield, and we hope in his words. Would you let him be your hiding place and your shield? Will you give up your worries and cast your burdens upon the Lord? Let me pray. Father, we thank you that the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord, help us to come to Jesus with our daily concerns. Help us to be strong and courageous, particularly in this unprecedented time of world history. Help us not to worry. Help us to seek your kingdom first and your righteousness. And in these dark days, Lord, help us to reach out to others with the gospel. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.